This morning I would have you turn once again to Mark chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 34 to 38 again. I'm leading you through a study of Christian discipleship, what it consists of. And there are many aspects of Christian discipleship, and that's why it's taking me many sermons to go through it. But I hope you will not tire of it. I'm attempting to show you these things in relation to the house of Christian discipleship, that is, the house that you live in as a Christian spiritually. And there are many things that you and I need to pay attention to in relation to our following Jesus Christ, in relation to our denying ourselves and picking up our cross, in terms of our not being ashamed of Jesus or His Word. Let's bow together for prayer. We thank you, Father, that you have brought us once again to this place, to your house, to your church gathered. We lift up our voices in praise once again. We praise you that you have given us your blessed word. We thank you that this word speaks to us, that it is you speaking to us through this word. That it is not merely a preacher who is speaking and giving forth truth, as important as that is and as significant as it is, but it is you coming in almighty power and dwelling with your people and making due impressions upon their minds and hearts. And so we pray that as we have gathered here to worship you, that we will also learn from you here today. Give us that grace that we need and work in our hearts, O Holy Spirit, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now, having looked at the dining room of Christian discipleship from the vantage point of Christians dining with Christ, the family dining with Christ, and the members of a church dining with one another, I now want to preach to you a sermon about the church dining with Christ. The gathered church for worship is the place where Christians corporately dine with one another. They dine together with Christ, I've said to you, in a formal way. It's where the discipleship of learning to listen well takes place. If we take care how we listen and what we listen to, we will be in a good position to grow as a Christian disciple. It ought to be apparent to us that simply listening to sermons will not be enough to make you a disciple by itself. It's very apparent from the Word of God that everyone who would make progress as a disciple must also take what they have heard from the Word of God and become a doer of it. That applying of what we have listened to is found first in the living room of self-denial, and it is applied further as time goes on in the exercise room of Christian discipleship. This is learning to practice what we are taught. It's learning to train our senses to discern the difference between good and evil. But the truth that I want us to focus on in this final sermon on the dining room of Christian discipleship is related to the table which is in this room. There is a spiritual table prepared for you every Sunday here in the local church that you are a member of or that you attend. Coming to church regularly each Lord's Day is the way that Christ feeds and builds up his people, corporately speaking. Your regular attendance upon the worship services of this church helps keep this local expression of Christ's church alive and flourishing in this area. It glorifies God. The person who is a committed disciple of the Lord comes to this dining room table each and every Sunday. If you love Christ, you are not ashamed of him or his words, as verse 38 says. You are ready and willing to take up your cross in respect to denying yourself the pleasures and the activities which the rest of the world engages in instead of coming to church. One day in the week, you joyfully give that day to God. What it means to come to the table in the dining room of Christian discipleship is a concept which I'm afraid has not been developed very extensively in our generation except in the Reformed churches. Those churches who are truly trying to be biblical in their worship. And what is being called worship in our generation has largely deteriorated into entertainment and a very self-pleasing, man-centered experience where meeting with God is a very casual thing. Both the music that is played and the casual atmosphere in worship lead many who attend those churches to think that God approves of their making up their own way of worshiping him. But I want to try to show you that this is not right. I want to show you, first of all, the Old Covenant table was a type of the New Covenant worship. And then secondly, I want to show you how this table glorifies God in his worship. And then thirdly, I want to draw a conclusion and make an application as to how I believe the Lord would have us to worship him now in New Covenant times. First of all, let's look at how the Old Covenant table was a type of the New Covenant worship. I want you to turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul, who I believe wrote this letter, is talking about some of the similarities and differences between the Old Covenant worship and the New. And he says in verse 1, "Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and earth and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time, in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks and various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation," meaning Christ's coming. "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now, there are several observations that I would like to make concerning these words. First of all, I would like to point out to you that the first few words of chapter 9 show us that there are certain definable similarities between the old covenant worship and the new. They both were designed by God to have ordinances or regulations of worship. It says, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service. The word even indicates that in both covenants, God had ordained ordinances or regulations that the priests in both covenants were to observe and do in their worship. Both were to have a priesthood, and both were to have a sanctuary. The priesthood of the old was Levitical. The priesthood of the new, which is based upon Christ's ministry, is that of Melchizedek. Through Christ's high priestly mediation, every believer is a priest in new covenant worship. The priests in the Old Testament times interacted with God and with the people in their worship on a regular basis, both on a daily basis and a weekly basis on the Sabbath. This worship under the Old Covenant was specifically designed by God for that nation, that is the Jews, and the people of physical Old Testament Israel, and it was a type of the good things to come for worship in the church under the new covenant. The things which God commanded them to observe, we as believers would find the greater reality of them after the Lord Jesus died, rose again, and returned to heaven. The Lord Jesus is the high priest of our faith. He has brought the good things of grace to us. He is the bread of life. We then take the ingredients of grace and truth, which he gives to us, and in our worship of God, we make spiritual bread out of them, just as the Old Testament priests did in the loaves of presentation. In other words, we present our lives to him in our worship of him. And we do this as one body. The pastor preaches the word, and the people receive it in order to better glorify him with their lives. This is the New Testament table. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. That was what the priests in the Old Testament times did. They made the showbread. They set it out before the Lord. They made 12 loaves to represent the 12 tribes of the people of Israel. And John Bunyan says, and I agree with him, these 12 loaves to me do seem to be a type of the 12 tribes under the law and of the children of God under the gospel as they present themselves before God in and by his ordinances through Christ. Hence the apostle says, we being many are one bread, and etc. For so were the 12 cakes, though 12, and so are the gospel saints, though many. For we being many are one body in Christ. Now, I want you to turn with me over to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24. And you will see how this bread was baked and how it was presented before the Lord. Leviticus 24 and verse 5. It says here, "And you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake. And you shall set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, for it is most holy to him, from the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute." So the priests were to take the flour, and they were to make 12 cakes of bread, and after they had baked them, they were to set them in 2 rows on the table on the Sabbath day. And the bread is representative of Jesus Christ himself, who is the bread of life. And it is also representative of the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, that which would feed and strengthen God's people. So Christ is the high priest of our faith, and he is currently dwelling on high at the right hand of the Father in the greater and more perfect tabernacle of heaven. And all of our worship is directed to him and through him to the Father. He is in the Holy of Holies, and we are in the sanctuary, the temple of the living God, when we gather together. The table and the showbread were in the sanctuary, the holy place in the Old Testament. They were not in the Holy of Holies. But I hope you can see that the bread was intended for Aaron and his sons, and that they would eat this bread in a holy place. And we know from the teaching of our Lord that God is to be worshipped in every place in New Covenant times. But you and I need to understand that this partaking of bread in the sanctuary of the Lord was special, just as the Lord's Supper is also special. In New Testament times, it takes place when the church is gathered. The spiritual fulfillment in the New Covenant is to be found in the pastor's regular presentation of the bread of the Word of God on the table around which the local church sits. And this is what is taking place right now, in what we are doing right now in this service of worship. Now, secondly, I would like to show you how this table glorifies God in his worship. The difference between the Old and the New Testaments is that in the Old, there were these earthly representations of spiritual realities. And in the New Testament worship, there is found the substance of these realities. In the Old, they were that physical furniture, if you will, of this tabernacle, the table of showbread and the lampstand. These were made by men. They were placed in an earthly sanctuary in this beautiful tent, which was designated by God and called the tabernacle. In New Testament worship, the sanctuary in which our high priest ministers is heaven. And we who believe in him as priests offer up spiritual sacrifices in worship. And one of the greatest of those sacrifices is that we listen to the sermons of truth concerning Christ, who is the fulfillment of all these old covenant types. It's the offering up of our ears and our hearts to God. And I would like you to consider that these things are more important than people are giving them credit for in these days. In the Old Covenant worship, worship was related to the duties of the table, the making and the baking and the displaying of the showbread in the worship and the service of the priests in the tabernacle. There was great carefulness and great reverence. There was nothing casual about it. If the priests were casual, or if they made up their own way of doing things in relation to God's worship, they died. That's how serious it was. Even the moving of the tabernacle and all the instruments related to the worship had to be carefully covered when they were being moved. It says in Numbers 4, verses 4 to 20. The tabernacle was designed by God as a movable place of worship to be used during the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. And it was used in that way, and it was moved about to various places until Solomon built the temple, the more permanent place of Old Covenant worship. And everything which was made to be used in the worship was made according to the pattern which was shown to Moses on the mount. And this includes the table that we are now studying. And I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. And I will attempt to give to you a sample of how carefully the children of Israel had to follow God's instructions. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 1. It says here, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. By the way, this is still how we ought to bring our offerings of worship to the Lord, willingly with our heart. Do you see what you do when you come to church with an offering? You praise him for your salvation, which you have received by faith. You praise him for his word, which you receive as spiritual food to your souls. You willingly and joyfully come to the sanctuary of the New Testament gathered church, to the place where God in all his glory dwells. And you are participating as a New Testament priest in the placing of the showbread on the table before the Lord. The placing of the showbread on the table in this New Testament time is the preaching of the word concerning Christ, the making and construction of the bread of sermons, the hearing and listening to them in which Christ is preached and through which God is glorified. This ministry, this service of preaching was intended by God to be set on the table. This bread of the word was intended by God to be set on the table always. That is, in all generations of the church age, that preaching of sermons would take place, preaching of the word of God. And people coming and listening, those who know him, to the preaching of the word, participating in the Lord's Supper as oft as it would be done. Now look at verse 6. It says here, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you. That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings. Just so you shall make it. And then the Lord describes how he wants the ark to be made, verses 10 to 16. And then he describes how he wants the mercy seat to be made, verses 17 to 22. And then starting in verse 23, he mentions the table. He says, you shall also make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold all around. And you shall make for it a frame of a hand breadth all around, and you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around, and you shall make for it four rings of gold, and put the rings on the four corners that are at its four legs, and the rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold, and you shall set the showbread on the table before me always. Now you see, this was a pictorial representation of Christ and his church having holy fellowship and partaking of the spiritual food of the bread of life together in God's very presence. And everyone who comes to public worship should therefore realize that all public worship is done primarily for God's sake. We come to church to honor him, not to please ourselves. But we are pleased when he is pleased. And worship is a solemn responsibility, but it is also our joy, and it is our delight. And the purpose of the sanctuary was that God might dwell among his people. And the question that we should ask ourselves as a church concerning these things is this: are we making this place a sanctuary for God to dwell in? Is God with us so that we sense his presence and his approval and his blessing upon our worship services? Is God with us of a truth, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that if an unbeliever comes into our midst, that they would be able to fall down on their face and confess that God is with you of a truth? Is he with our hearts? The church is not the building, but rather the people. Our worship is his showbread. And the word showbread in the original means the bread of faces. And we have faces which are looking up to him in faith. We are looking to him spiritually to be satisfied. Because God does not dwell in temples made with human hands. In the New Testament worship, but it is very important to God that his glory be seen in the way that we handle the truth as a gathered church, the way that we present and receive the bread of life in the preaching of his word. God is dwelling in us, and he is walking among us. His New Testament gathered church. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? You are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. Now, it's important to God that we see the value of the holy ordinances that he has given to us. It's very important to God how our hearts behave in worship. What we present to him upon this table. This table in Israel's day was made of acacia wood. It was a wood that would not easily rot. The table was covered with pure gold, and the golden table represents Christ. And all that we offer in worship unto God is offered upon his finished work for us. His offering of himself gave us the golden table. In his offering of himself upon the cross, he was perfect humanity, represented by the acacia wood, And all that he did in his perfect humanity was rendered meritorious, meant rendered of infinite value in the sight of God, by his also being deity, which is represented by the pure gold. He died upon the cross for our sins, but he did not see corruption. And being raised from the dead, he ever lives to make intercession for us. How warm the devotion of our hearts ought to be towards him in worship, even as the fresh and hot bread would be baked and then stacked in two rows of six and placed on the golden table, and that bread would stand on that table that way for the whole week. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, when John saw the vision of what the worship of God was to be like in New Testament times in light of the Lord Jesus Christ being the only one worthy to open the scroll and loose the seven seals, which would unlock how the kingdom of God and Christ would advance upon the earth in this age in which we presently live, it says this: Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So you see that prayer is an integral part of the worship of God. And prayer that God would be glorified and that his kingdom would advance in our hearts and upon the earth, this is the frankincense upon the bread. The four living creatures are the hieroglyphic representation of the ministers of the church. The 24 elders are the picture of those who are wise in the church. And they fall down before the Lamb, praising him and offering their prayers. They sing the new song of redemption. Beloved, this is just how the presentation of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word in the hearts of God's people ought to be. The preacher's heart ought to be hot for God, just like an oven is for baking bread. And the people's hearts ought to be warm to the truth of the Word of God, seeing as that bread is designated by God to last them all that week. It will stand for that week, and then fresh bread will again be baked and the loaves of presentation replaced. So the prayers of the saints ought to be running down on the bread like frankincense, praying that they would, through the means of the word preached and the presence of the glory of God working in their hearts, that they would be a people who would together be able to glorify him. Oh, how I hope that you catch a vision, a glimpse of this vision. The worship of God is so much more than being entertained or showing off your gifts. And then thirdly and finally, I want to close this sermon by making an application of what you have heard. The local church is extremely important to the fulfillment of God's purposes in the world in every generation. The one body of Jesus Christ is the one bread made up of all believers worldwide in any given generation. In fact, it is the whole family in heaven and earth. We are one bread, but we are many loaves from many churches. This church is one of those local expressions of the one body of Christ. And I believe that it is very important to God, from the things that we have studied today, that his people not only be individually nourished on the words of sound doctrine in their private devotions, but it's important to God that every person and every family come to the gathered body of the local church and learn what sound doctrine is. It's important that we believe this, and it's important we try to convince other people of this truth. It's important that we are convinced ourselves, and it's important to tell others that they should be able to submit to God's authority in the preaching of the Word in a biblically faithful church context. Now, the way that an individual person or a family are showing that they are submitting to God's authority is by regular Sunday-by-Sunday attendance, regular Sunday-by-Sunday submission of their heart to His Word and to God Himself. It's very important to God that any disciple of Jesus be confronted with any sins that they may not be aware of, so that they can repent of them. The table in the sanctuary of the tabernacle was a piece of furniture upon which the showbread was placed. It represents Christ's finished work as the high priest of our faith. It represents His righteous life and His offering up of Himself in death on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, and His ascension into heaven. Christ's entrance into the Holy of Holies, into heaven itself, has opened up for us a new and living way that we may come together and worship Him. And we need to avail ourselves of that. And so if you have not joined this church yet, will you not resolve to join with this church and become a member of this church if you have not done so, so that you can help us to uphold the worship of God? Because that's what we do here, Sunday by Sunday. Will you come regularly and help us as priests to place the hot and fresh showbread on the table that Christ has made? Christ is the gold table. And ultimately, He is also the bread. But we and our worship are the 12 loaves on the table. Do you see it? Do you see how important it is to God that you and your family regularly participate in the corporate worship of the people of God? Come to the table in the dining room of Christian discipleship, and then you will see that all the worship that you conduct in your heart and in your family during the week all flow from your also having come to worship God here with the church gathered. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we thank You for these blessed scriptures that we have studied here today, opening up Your Word and seeing from Old Testament to New the shadows and the types which have become spiritual realities, the furniture which has become a spiritual reality of Christ and His church gathered around the table of public worship, partaking of the bread of life. Dear Father in heaven, may we at every Lord's Day, on every Lord's Day, may we come and partake of this fresh and hot bread, that we as priests might partake of this bread, and that we as a church gathered might be a great and effectual witness of your truth and to Your worship in these days and in the days to come, so that this church might grow and flourish and become strong and mighty even in this small community. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's close our time of worship together this morning by turning to hymn number 250. Come, dearest Lord, descend and dwell by faith and love in every breast. Let's stand and sing this hymn together.
Come fill our hearts.
God, whose power can do more than our thoughts or wishes know. The everlasting honors done by all the through Christ his Son. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.